So the first verse we're reading tonight is from Proverbs 16, and it's verse 31. Grey hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. And then if you turn over to Proverbs 20, and it's verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendour of old men is their grey hair.
Well, this is our penultimate evening in our series in Proverbs. We've been bodybuilding over these past weeks. Proverbs makes the claim that right living is good for your health. To shun evil and to fear God will, to quote from Proverbs, bring healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. We've looked at different body parts and what Proverbs has to say about those body parts to help us to do this. We've looked at the eyes and the ears, the heart, the hands, the stomach, and so on. If you use your hands for things God intended you to use your hands for, things will generally go well for you in life. If you use your hands for things displeasing to God, things will generally not go well. Proverbs is about living God's way in God's world. It's about right living in everyday life. And tonight, the body part we're looking at is the hair. Two short verses on the hair, grey hair to be specific. I have a good relationship with my barber. He's from Iran. He now has a British citizenship. But our first encounter was a memorable one for me. After cutting my hair, he asked if I wanted my eyebrows trimmed. Well, my eyebrows can on occasion get a little unruly, so I was happy for him to take the buzzer and to trim them. He then asked if I wanted the hair in my ears taken care of. Well, I hadn't noticed that the hair in my ears was so unruly that it merited taking care of, but he had the buzzer in his hand, and so why not? Except that when he had been given the okay, he put the buzzer down and he picked up a cotton wool bud. He dipped that in some fluid, and then he took his lighter and he set it on fire. And he started waving fire in and out of my ears to burn the hair that was in there. It was all a little bit disconcerting. And not content with this, he asked if I wanted my nose hair taken care of. Well, there was absolutely no way he was setting fire to my nose. But he explained that he would put wax on two cotton wool buds, and he'd place them up my nostrils, and he'd allow the wax to harden, and then he'd yank it out. And I politely declined. He sought to persuade me, and after his fourth attempt to persuade, I had to quite firmly say to him that there was absolutely no circumstances whatsoever, no scenario that existed whereby I was letting him stick cotton wool buds with wax up my nostrils. But my encounter with the barber confirms, I think, what we all know. The aging process can be examined by looking to our hair. As we get older, hair can cease to grow where we'd like it to, and it start growing where we'd rather it did not. And for our purposes in Proverbs, the color of our hair often changes as we get older. These Proverbs about gray hair speak to the aging process. They draw our attention to the latter stages of life, to old age. Now, you'll recall, perhaps, at the beginning that we spoke of different pieces of wisdom literature in the Bible and how these different pieces of wisdom literature had different purposes. And Ecclesiastes is another piece of wisdom literature, and it's a far more skeptical book than Proverbs is. Ecclesiastes wrestles with meaning and purpose in life. It searches for where joy can be found. And it too acknowledges old age, but it does so in a far more pessimistic way than Proverbs does. It focuses in on the evils of old age, to use language from Ecclesiastes. And I'd like to read out just an extended passage from Ecclesiastes and to get its perspective on old age. And it'll be helpful to do that because it will allow us to contrast it with what Proverbs says with old age. Let me read this from Ecclesiastes. It says this: "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near, of which you will say, 'I have no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders, probably teeth, cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows, probably eyes, are dimmed, and the doors on the streets, perhaps ears, are shut. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms." That's probably a reference to gray hair. The almond tree blossoms. "The grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity." Ecclesiastes really quite poignantly looks to the trouble that old age brings, the weariness, the failing bodies, the lack of strength, the lack of vitality. And perhaps our culture highlights these aspects. Perhaps we fear old age because of what Ecclesiastes recognizes about old age. It can be difficult. But it's not the only perspective. It's not the only biblical perspective on old age. Listen to Proverbs 16:31 again. And if you have your Bibles, you can have it open in front of you. Proverbs 16:31, the first of our two verses, says this: "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life." Proverbs here elevates old age. The verse uses royal language, kingly language, to describe old age. Gray hair is a crown. A crown, is it not, is a symbol of great honor. When a king or a queen wears a crown, their citizens are to pay respect. A certain deference is due. A certain esteem is to be paid to the one who is wearing the crown. And this is what Proverbs is teaching. Those who are advanced in years, who have gray hair, are to be honored. Their gray hair is their glory, the author of Proverbs says. An equally acceptable translation would be that their gray hair is their beauty. There is a beauty to old age. Even Ecclesiastes, in all its pessimism about old age, speaks well of gray hair, comparing it to the almond tree blossoming. A tree in blossom is a truly glorious sight. If you have gray hair, I hope you don't lament it. There's plenty to lament about the aging process, but gray hair is your crown. It is your glory. Wear it with pride. A few years ago now, Lindsay, without my permission, without my knowing what she was about to do, plucked a gray hair from my head. I asked her to refrain from doing that for these reasons. It hurts. I don't have an abundance to go around. And when would she stop? It's an inevitable part of growing old. And Proverbs says it's not all bad. Gray hair is a crown. Now, it's not gray hair for gray hair's sake that Proverbs elevates. The second part of the verse says, it, that is grey hair, where's it gone? Is righteous. It is gained in a righteous life. Grey hair is gained in a righteous life. Now remember that Proverbs is concerned with right living in everyday life, and it holds out general principles which are true, not universal principles true in every event. So it is possible for a person to have reached old age, to have gained grey hair, and yet to have lived unrighteously in order to get that grey hair. And it is possible for a person to have lived a righteous life and to perhaps have died young and not gained their crown of grey hair. Nevertheless, what Proverbs says here is generally true, especially for the person who belongs to God. Generally speaking, if a person lives a righteous life, they will reach old age. This evening, if you have grey hair, and in your old age, and you've reached this old age by the grace of God, having lived a Holy Spirit-empowered righteous life, then rejoice in your crown of glory, your grey hair. This evening, if your hair is in your prime, and there's not a hint of grey, your prayer might well be something along these lines. Lord, grant me grace that I might live a righteous life, that I might reach old age, and that I may too gain a crown of glory, grey hair. Your aim should be to reach old age, living for God, seeking to be holy as God is holy, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and to one day have glorious grey hair. Well, how might we do this? How might we live righteously and gain this crown? We know, of course, that living righteously doesn't contribute to our justification. We know that we are justified, we are made right with God through faith alone, by God's grace alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone. We know too, I think, that we have an alien righteousness. We have a righteousness from God. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. It is a perfect righteousness. And whilst this is true and foundational, we know too that the Apostle Peter says this, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. We know the author of Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. We know that Paul says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So we are called, we see it all over Scripture, we are called to live righteously. How then do we live righteously? How do we put to death the acts of the flesh and foster the fruit of the Spirit? How do we reach old age with grey hair, having lived righteously? Well, there is a sense by which this whole series in Proverbs has had that aim in mind. We're examining Proverbs for what it says about different parts of the body that we might shun evil and put on righteousness. And so we have a plethora of scriptures we could go to, not only in the New Testament, but in Proverbs, as we ask the question, how can we live righteously that we may gain the crown of gray hair? But perhaps Proverbs gives us one overarching principle to help us live righteously and shun evil, which we'll find in chapter 2. And if you want, you can turn back to chapter 2 of Proverbs, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2 from verse 1 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand," verse 5, "the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints." Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. So Christian, if you want a crown of gray hair, and to have gained it through living righteously, devote yourselves wholeheartedly to God's words, his commandments. Seek to understand them. Cry out for insight that you might understand his word and his will. Treat God's word as you would treat a treasure. If you do, then Proverbs says you will understand the fear of the Lord. And it is the fear of the Lord which leads to uprightness, integrity, righteousness, justice, equity, every good path. Fearing the Lord leads to righteousness. Learn to tremble at his words. Look to his majesty, his glory, his sovereignty. Look to his omniscience. He knows all. He sees all. Consider that he is judge of the universe, accountable to no one, and to which everyone is accountable. Consider his power. Behold his holiness. Fear him. Our first verse in Proverbs on hair elevates gray hair. It honors old age. It honors a life lived well into old age. There's a second verse in Proverbs that speaks of hair, and we should turn there now, and it's Proverbs chapter 20 and 29, which reads as follows. Proverbs 20, 29. "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." We recognize that the glory of young men is their strength. The average age of an Olympian, whether male or female, has always fallen in their 20s, somewhere in the 20s. And that prime stage of life is a glory. Strength and speed and agility, they are wonders to behold. It's why we're drawn to sports. It's why we marvel at the golfer who can hit a ball 260 yards. It's why thousands upon thousands made their way to football stadiums yesterday up and down the country. It's why gym memberships are on the rise. It's why the most elite soldiers are so revered. The glory of young men is their strength. But note, too, that there is, again in Proverbs, a glory reserved for old age. Verse 29 continues, "But the splendor of old men is their gray hair." There's a type of glory reserved for youth, and there's a type of glory reserved for old age. There is a wisdom that accompanies gray hair. There is experience that comes with gray hair. There is an ability to critique your own generation and to look on younger generations and to critique them. There's a realization that there's nothing new under the sun. Being closer to the end of your life than the beginning brings with it a certain perspective on all that you see and witness and do. Having lived for many decades, the crown that is grey hair has been won through much suffering, a personal suffering, as that person has had to live with the consequences of their own sins and their own mistakes and their own weaknesses, a personal suffering as that person has been sinned against and wronged and hurt. A personal suffering that is the result of living in a fallen world which brings disease and illness and injustice and cruelty. Not only a personal suffering, but a witnessing of others suffer, friends and family and loved ones and colleagues. The one with a crown of grey hair will have attended more funerals than they can recall. They will have said goodbye to many friends and loved ones. To have grey hair is to have lived through national and worldwide tragedies, economic hardships, natural disasters, wars, social upheaval. To have grey hair is to have persevered in life. It is to have a degree of resilience and fortitude. For the Christian with grey hair, it is to have had God working in them, making them more like Christ for many, many a year. There is a splendor, a glory, a majesty associated with grey hair and old age that we should esteem and respect and honor. In our culture as a whole, I think the respect and the honor tend to go towards the young men and their strength and the young women and their strength. There are cultures around the world that do a far greater job than our culture does at honoring the elderly. Whereas the phrase old man can be used as a term of derision in Scotland, in Greece it never would be, but is reserved as a term of great honor. In our culture, it is common to think that we know best if we're in a younger generation. There's a certain modern snobbery that looks down on the past, but in Native American culture, it is common to seek out the wisdom of the elderly and to seek to learn from the past. In many Eastern cultures, it is common to defer to elders and for younger generations to care for their elders within the family home even. And there are, I think, worrying attitudes towards the elderly in our culture. For example, assisted suicide is often championed on the basis that it gives people choice to end their life when pain and suffering become extreme. And there are many arguments that could be made against assisted suicide, but one is the way in which it demeans the elderly. Pressure is placed on those who are vulnerable and elderly just to simply end their lives when they feel or sense that they have become a burden on loved ones who now have to spend time and money and resources caring for them. Assisted suicide sends a subliminal message that when you are old and needy and have nothing to offer society, then you can be disposed of. Proverbs would say that we ought rather to honor those who have a crown of grey hair. We ought to recognize that there is a splendor that comes with old age. One more example. There's a desire in our culture, which is gathering momentum. It's here in the UK to give robotic cats and robotic dogs to those who are elderly and lonely, because statistics have shown of the positive effect that such can have on an elderly and lonely person. But I think society has lost. It is lost if it resorts to giving elderly, lonely people robotic cats. That's not recognizing the splendor. It's not recognizing the honor that is due old age. Proverbs in chapter 20 and verse 29 says that gray hair is the splendor of old age. Old age can come with many difficulties, much suffering, but the upshot is that you ought to be respected and honored and cared for, loved. There should be a deference shown to you. The young may have a particular type of glory, but so too to the elderly. On occasion, my family does the Saturday morning park run. It's a 5K run. Our park is at the bottom of the street. It's very close to us. Some of you do different park runs in different locations. Our park run has four laps. And each lap has a different feel to it. Lap one is wonderful. It's a breeze. You feel great. You feel fresh. My boys and I still have the Rocky theme tune playing in our minds that we've listened to as we head out the door and make our way to the park. Lap one is effortless. Lap two is okay, but the honeymoon phase is over. You realize that it's not all going to be plain sailing. Lap three has very little that is redeeming about it. My boys and I call it the lap of pain. It's a slog. Your muscles are burning. Your breathing is labored. Perhaps there's joy to be found that you're still in the race, but it's just a lap of pain. Lap four is psychologically much easier. You've done the hard work. You pretty much know that you're going to get to the finishing line. You just need to keep putting one foot in front of the other. You know that a breakfast of pancakes that your wonderful wife and your mum is making with lashings of syrup, it's your reward. It's not far away. And I wonder if there are similarities here to the Christian life, although I recognize that the Christian life at whatever stage will always have joys and sorrows. But perhaps lap one could represent those Christians young in the faith, or perhaps young in the age. The Christian life is a joy. It's a breeze. It's effortless. Their youth is their glory. Lap two is when you realize that you're in a race. It's not all plain sailing. You begin to tire. The fight is on. I wonder if my generation, my age, is in lap two. Lap three are those slightly older Christians. Life and faith can be difficult. Worries abound. Responsibilities abound. It can be a slog at times. Joy has to be fought for. And lap four represents those Christians in their old age, those who can say along with Paul, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I'm wearing my crown of splendid and glorious gray hair, and I am awaiting the crown of righteousness, which my Savior, Jesus Christ, will award me on that last day. Where are you in that race? What lap are you on? There are some astonishingly impressive runners in our park. It's a 5K flat run, so many runners come to Elder Park to get their best time. And there are young men and women in their 20s that fly around that course. Their strength is their glory. But what impresses me far, far more are the two runners in their 70s, mid-70s to late 70s, with their gray hair, who are still running. They're still running in their 70s. And many who are doing that park run will not be. Those Christians who have persevered in the faith, who have kept the faith through dangers, toils, and snares, who have lived a life of righteousness over decades, flowing from a deep sense of gratitude that Jesus Christ died for them and their sins, those Christians who now wear a crown of glorious gray hair should, I think, have our admiration. We should look at them and be spurred on in our own faith. We should desire that we might be faithful over many years, that we might live righteously, shunning evil, fearing God, and that one day we might too have a glorious crown of gray hair as we wait for Jesus to reward us with the crown of righteousness on that last day. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, thank you that there is glory to every stage in life. Every stage comes with its challenges and with that which is redeeming. Help us to honor old age. Those among us who are young cause us to desire that we might live righteously, that we might grow old and gain a crown of gray hair. Those who have gray hair cause them to give thanks to the God who sustains even to old age. And we give thanks that because Christ's life was cut short, we can all look forward to the crown of eternal life that he will give us on the last day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.